Evenings with Christine Arnoux.
702 ABC Sydney, 666 ABC Canberra and ABC New South Wales.
When you were in your teens, how much trouble did you get into? Very few of us are angels during our teens, during those years, if you want to fess up about it. And for some of us, it's really a struggle to stay in school, to keep out of trouble, to be at home and be okay with being at home. That's who we're talking about tonight, the kids who've fallen into a trap, getting into trouble and finding it seemingly impossible to get out of it. I'm joined tonight by Heath Ducker, who's the CEO of a foundation called Youth In Search, and a counsellor who works with him, Jenny Linton. Jenny and Heath, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me just bump your levels a bit. Heath, you've got a remarkable story yourself. You didn't grow up in the most stable environment, did you?
That's correct. So one of 10, living in a housing commission home, single mum, and suffered abuse when I was young. So a combination of factors that really impacted my life. I was fortunate to have the intervention of Youth In Search at about 13, 14 years of age and deal with that quite early on. So I was a very quiet, withdrawn young person. So I didn't get into a lot of crime or trouble, but a lot of young people react the other way rather than becoming introverted, start to lash out at the world, and those are the young people we see out there committing crimes and stealing cars, doing drugs, all those sorts of things.
Well, how did you find Youth In Search?
I was referred by a children's worker, so a social worker who was working with our family, who was heavily involved in the program at the time.
Excellent. Mm. I've just got a little bit of a snippet that I wanted to play.
Ricky Baker.
He is a bad egg. His history of offences and re-offences is too long to list. We're talking graffitiing, littering, smashing stuff, burning stuff, breaking stuff, stealing stuff, throwing rocks, running away.
One time, he walked really slowly across the pedestrian crossing and held up all the traffic.
That, of course, is a snippet from Hunt for the Wilder People that came out this year. A really great story. I got the tissues out for that one. Did you find yourself, Heath, against people that up against grown-ups that just thought you were a bad egg?
Yeah, well, definitely those who judged my situation and my circumstance. And thought that because of what I'd experienced, I may not make much of myself. So there was that judgment. Yeah, definitely.
Well, did you get to meet other people struggling that that were your own age?
Yeah, well, that happened at Youth In Search. And that was the first time really that I realised that I didn't have to let my circumstances hold me back, that life was about choice and I could make a decision to be something in my life, no matter what I'd experienced. And the young people there showed me that, the young leaders who had been through similar situations and spoke very confidently about the fact that they had achieved despite what they had been through.
Talk about the mentors in the program.
Yeah, so we have the youth leaders who, young people have been there and done that. And so they can relate to the young people. Mm. They can stand up there as role models and speak to their experiences and prove to them that they can make a change if they're determined enough. We also have the adult leaders who are from services, who are people really dedicated to the welfare of young people who put their whole heart and soul into their work, like Jenny we have here with us tonight. And the young people sometimes the first time experience adults who aren't judging them, who truly believe in them, no matter what, and I can tell you that has an astounding impact on their life. Mm.
What did you need, looking back on your life, that In Search gave you?
I think it was both a sense of connectedness and also a sense that I wasn't the only one who'd experienced what I had experienced. So an understanding that I wasn't alone.
A community.
Yeah, a community.
A tribe that you could belong to.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Because, and I think, you know, when you're in these situations, these circumstances, the only community you have is quite a negative one often. And so you can't see beyond that. You can't see over the hill, so to speak, until you get into an experience like this at Youth In Search and you realise that there is a bigger, brighter world out there.
And you're over that hill now. You're a lawyer.
Yes.
Incredible.
Thank you.
But we don't, you know, we don't want to hold that one against you. and you're the CEO now of Youth In Search Foundation. I mean, how did that happen? Did you go up the ranks, become the mentor, and then found yourself wanting to take that position? I mean, because you've got quite an impressive resume.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. It was a fortunate set of circumstances where they needed a CEO, so they approached me and asked me to do that, and I was in between jobs at the time, and so the timing was right, and I was able to take up the role, and it's a privilege every day to be in a position where I'm now helping an organisation that helped me out so much, being able to give back and continue to share my story and my experiences to inspire other young people.
And do you guys do more or less the same stuff as back when you were getting the help yourself, or has it changed much?
Not significantly. And I think the reason...
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix
it. Yeah, that's it. There's been changes here and there along the way. The young people initiate those, so it's very much a peer-led program. Mm. That way it stays relevant to their needs. But overall, the core concept of acceptance, belonging, togetherness...
Connectedness.
And the way we deliver that through our weekend workshops and our support groups hasn't changed, because at the end of the day, that's what people need and that's what these young people need.
How do you conduct the workshops? Do you sort of take them on a bit of a powwow, teamwork sort of thing? Is it a camp?
Yeah, some of the young people call it camp. So it's more a workshop. So they participate in an increasingly deeper set of sessions throughout the weekend. So you start with things like communication and self-esteem, into trust, and then into some of the more deeply therapeutic hassle sessions, which are drug and alcohol addictions and abuse and grief and family neglect and separation and violence and those sorts of things. So, and we build an environment such that they can talk openly about those things with each other and draw on the support of each other's experience and wisdom in overcoming it.
It's confronting to have to admit that those things are around you. Jenny, you work with Heath in Search. What sort of work do you do with the kids that come through there?
So I work with a lot of the leaders, and I also go to the weekend programs. Actually, I just completed a program in Melbourne in Rawson with, there was almost 60 people there, and so I help with the sessions. But the main thing I do is I have the opportunity to work with the young leaders to help mentor them so that they can mentor the other young people. And what's really good is that we've got fantastic leaders, so it's not really a hard job.
So you sort of take a position of educator.
Yeah, and supporter. So supporting them to do what they need to do and give them a little bit of guidance along the way.
So you mentioned that you're in Melbourne. So In Search is national?
Three states, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria.
Okay, excellent. How do you connect with them? I'm guessing lots of these kids don't want to connect with people in your line of work, having those sorts of trust issues with adults.
It's about being authentic,
okay,
and being real with them and being honest. And once they can see that you're honest and authentic and that you're there for them, gradually over the weekend, usually by Saturday, we're like a big family. It's amazing.
It's a week-long process.
It goes from Friday night at 6 o'clock to Sunday at about 3:30 we finish up, and it's full on. We spend most of the weekend in a room in a circle talking about the things that Heath just covered. Yeah, so it's pretty intense. And even the adults, you know, shed a tear or two, and we might share a snippet here and there to show them that we get it. And that's where...
Do you have a story that they can relate to? Yeah, like
well,
Heath.
Well, we all do, don't we?
Sure. I agree with that.
Yeah, we all do. And sometimes we see the opportunity to share, a part of our story, and we talk about what happens on camp stays on camp. Trust is really important, and so while we can, talk to people about how fantastic the program is, nobody's going to leave and say, did you know Jenny this or did you know Heath that? You know, these young people know that they can share their story and can trust us, you know, not to misuse their information. So it's amazing that...
Well, you're trusting them as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
I missed the number that you were working with in the workshop in Melbourne. How many kids does In Search handle who've committed criminal offences?
It varies every program, and we don't get all that information out with every program. I know that in the Victoria program that we just did, there were at least three or four, could have been more. The way that it works is, for example, we do a parent-adolescent hassle session. In that session, somebody might talk about domestic violence in their home, and then all of a sudden young people in the room are saying, oh yeah, I've that's my life, and then they talk. It's like an invitation to, I'm not on my own and I can do this. And so the information that comes out over the weekend depends on who's in the room and who's talking about what.
So they guide it.
Yeah. And so we get a lot of information about these young people. When we talk, when the topic of juvenile justice and the court system comes up, then we find out who in the room, you know, has got that background. And, you know, it's a big percentage of young people, because we don't know all their stories all the time, and it even floors us when we hear.
Have our statistics show 60% have committed crimes before they attend.
So how many of the people...
So we help about 1,000 young people per year, and about 60% of those, hundreds, have committed crimes prior to participation.
And what about the number of young people who've reoffended?
Yeah, so that's really... So only 17% of those young people reoffend after participation in the program.
Is that a good number?
It's an extraordinarily effective number.
Great. So 70% don't
offend again, and 82% don't. 70% reoffend and 82% don't reoffend. So it's a really high number.
Fantastic. Mm. Fantastic.
And you can compare that to, just the ordinary juvenile justice system, where the stats show that 80% of juveniles who commit crimes between the ages of 10 and 18 will reoffend.
Is that what recidivism is?
Yes.
Means?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is the hardest word to say. Say that 10 times really fast. Recidivism.
Yeah, it's not easy. So you've got 80% reoffending through the normal course of the juvenile justice system, and you've got 80% not reoffending through the course of our program. So when you weigh up the options in terms of what you do with these young people, it seems like a no-brainer to me that the government should be supporting us more, and the young people should be participating in programs like ours.
Why are young people reoffending? What is that? What's missing?
Well, I think in the system they don't deal with the cause of the behaviour; they're just dealing with the behaviour. So it's mostly punishment, simply if you don't deal with the cause, you're not going to solve the problem. So the causes are things like they've experienced abuse, they come from violent homes, there's some other traumatic experience in their life. And so they're angry and they're lashing out and they're getting in with the wrong crowd, and they're doing all these sins because inside emotionally there's an emotional driver that's causing that. And Youth In Search has a way of getting through the facade.
The layers.
The layers, yeah. Mm. So and to the real person. Mm. And we're all about bringing the real person out, that, you know, all those positive qualities that they have when they were born as children, that we all have, bringing those back to the fore and dealing with the negative stuff that's going on.
Can I give you an example from the weekend?
Please.
There was a young guy who was really quite disruptive, and his behaviour was pretty poor. And so I started talking to him in the session in front of everyone, and he had his arms crossed and he was, you know, F this, F that. Mm. So I held his hand and I just asked him if he would come with me. And I spoke to the room and said, this guy's a really good guy. I know it. Mm. He doesn't know it. So I got everybody in the room to say something nice to him that they'd noticed about him. By the time we finished the circle, he was in tears because he said, nobody's ever told me any of that before. And I asked him, do you believe it? He said, not really. He said, but it feels really good. I said, let's listen to a little bit more. And he said, yeah, kinda. Like, and for the rest of the day, he was smiling and his head was high and you could see the change in him because all of a sudden he realised he wasn't a bad kid.
Yeah.
That he had some good things about him.
That he's not invisible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you see that? Do you see... Some of the guys or girls, some of these young people, do you see, we still haven't gotten, they've walked out the door. It's the end of the workshop. And you think we've still got a few more layers yet with that one. Do you see that? And do you think we've got to find ways of, because some of them wouldn't be ready to talk about that pain. It's just too painful to go there.
Yeah. It's not very often that somebody will leave the program without it having some kind of an impact on
them.
And that's what inspires the young leaders, what inspires us to get them back again. And then they come to support group every week, so they're still connecting in with the program and with the leaders and with the other young participants, so that youth mentor, that peer-to-peer support continues. And sometimes they only need one program, sometimes they might need three or four, mm-hmm. you know, to help them. Because once we deal with this problem, more than likely there's something underneath that,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You talked about such a simple exercise as going around the circle and asking each of the youth, you know, the teenagers that are there to say something that they've noticed. Positive.
Positive, yeah.
How simple that exercise is. What other activities do you do during the workshop? Let's talk about what's in the program.
Well, we do all the sessions. I think the most powerful thing that we do is the hugs. So we teach young people how to hug appropriately and safely, and we help them to understand why hugging is important.
Oh, wow.
And some of them were a bit hesitant because of their past experience. Mm. I've been involved with Youth in Search for 12 years, and only ever on the Sunday has one person sat out of the hugs in my whole experience. And I think that Heath could probably tell a similar story.
Were you a hugger by the end, Heath?
Oh, yeah. Everyone gets into it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And some of these young people who have never been hugged or have had bad experience all of a sudden realise that they're worthy. They're worthy of somebody taking the time to give them a hug.
And I mean, the reason why we do it too on the weekends is because it's an important ingredient to setting up that safe, close, supportive environment.
Mm.
And without it, it'd be quite difficult. But, you know, a lot of these young people are missing human connection or a meaningful human connection. And we're able to provide that to them within the safety and the confines, the very witnessed environment that happens at the weekends.
I can't imagine two more important things, like, you know, hearing positive words being said to kids that they probably otherwise would never hear, and the physical contact and being assured that it's okay, being two very powerful tools, you know, to have in that workshop. When they go home, back to their families, what happens to them then? Because they've had some sort of a change. Does there need to be a holistic approach to when they go home, that the family is receiving a family member that's been made a difference to, you know?
So every young person that comes to the program has a support person attached to them, so that the support person comes along and watches how they go over the weekend, and then when they go back home, of course we make sure that they're safe and that they're going home into a safe environment. Mm. And then the support person helps to get the support that the family needs, because we work with the young people supporting young people, and then when they go back, they know, because we say it quite often, the only thing we have control over is ourselves. We can only change ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so what happens a lot is that when the young person changes, the family starts to change as well. It's amazing how many families are now hugging out there because of Youth in Search. And that is really vital to keeping families connected. But we also have the support people who might get another agency involved to work with the family. So they really do need that. It's the community. You know, the community looks after the young people. Mm-hmm. And so we don't work on our own. And that's a really strong message we work to get to young people as well. You can't do it on your own. So it's really important you have those professionals around you. So
we role play situations that they may encounter at home and how to deal with it. So they're provided with these very practical,
as you mentioned there.
Yeah, coping skills. And I can remember one girl who came along whose mum had a big drinking problem. So she was responsible for looking after the children because her mum was always drunk. It's a terrible situation to live in. So at the weekends we said, well, what can we do about it? And she said, well, I can talk to her, but I can't really talk to her because she's always drunk. And we said, well, why don't we just try a situation of you doing that? So we went through it, and what she did was went home and she stood at the foot of her mum's bed, and she said, and this is what we speak about at the weekends, Mum, I don't like your behaviour, but I really love you, and I want that the person that I love to come back. And she left the room. And then when she came home after school the next afternoon, her mum was standing there with the bottle in her hand and said, can you get me help? Yeah, so there's lots of stories like that.
The use of words being a very powerful way of cutting through.
Yeah.
You know, look, at least you know a handful of parents are out there listening who, you know, are worried about their children and the trouble that they're getting into. How can they help their kids?
Well, first of all, we have young people who come to our program from a really broad spectrum. We have young people who come to our program who come from loving, functioning homes, who might be suffering from bullying, low self-esteem. You know, there might be some mental illness there. Mm. Then we get young people who are living on the street. So we get a broad spectrum of young people, and together it's amazing they all find common ground to support each other on. And if there's any parents out there who are concerned about the behaviour of the young people, give us a call so that we can talk to them about what support is out there for them, and then look at, you know, getting their young people, their sons and their daughters, on a program so that they can be mixing with other young people to get the support that they need, that positive peer support.
What's that number, Jenny?
1-800-805-635.
Jenny and Heath, I'd just like to... Sorry, what were you going to say, Heath?
Oh, no, sorry, I was just going
to add to Jenny's...
Add to that and say, I think for a parent, the most important thing is to communicate with their child. So a lot of parents feel not like they're not good parents because they do this or that or that, but the most important thing is just to sit down and have a conversation with them. And even if they think that it's not working or not getting through, you often find that things do filter through. And even if it's a month, 6 months later, it has an impact. So I'd just say start the conversation.
Mm. Jenny and Heath, thank you so much for your time tonight.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Youth In Search Foundation CEO Heath Ducker and Jenny Linton, In Search Project Manager and Counsellor. More info at youthinsearch.org.au. And that number again is 1-800-805-635.
Evenings with Christine Arnoux.
702 ABC Sydney, 666 ABC Canberra and ABC New South Wales.